This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to have mountain-moving faith.
You see, that's what doubt will do in your life. And Jesus said, if you're going to have mountain-moving faith, you're going to have to learn to deal with this thing of doubt. Well, how do you deal with doubt? Because let me tell you something, doubt will attack you. It's natural. Because you know how we're made? We like to believe what we can see. Isn't that right? We talked about this last time. Seeing is believing. That's the saying. And so if we can see it, then we think we got it. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you get to the level of mountain-moving faith, you will always be dealing with what you can't see. You will have to do it before you see it. And so we're going to have to learn to deal with the doubt that naturally comes because we can't see it before we get it. How do you deal with doubt? I want to give you three words for dealing with doubt. And you might want to write these down. Three things that we must know about God in order to overcome doubt so that we can have the faith that moves mountains. Number one is purpose. Purpose. The second one is power. And the third one is permission. Purpose, power, and permission. Let's break those down. The first thing that you need to know about God is, what is his purpose? Is this thing that you are facing, is God dealing with that something that he has purposed? In other words, is it according to his will? Go over to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. So you see, the first thing that we need to know is this according to God's purpose? Is it according to God's will? Understand this. Faith cannot begin until I know the will of God. Faith cannot begin until I know the will of God. Think about it. How did you get saved? Somebody came to you and told you, do you know that Jesus died for your sins? Do you know that he wants you to be saved? They may have quoted to you John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. What were they telling you? It's the will of God for you to be saved. That's God's purpose for your life. And until you knew that, you could not have the faith to call upon his name and be saved. And in the same way, you will not have faith to move mountains until you know that it's God's will to move that mountain in your life. Priscilla and I have two cell phones. Or I should say, we may have two cell phones. The reason I say that is, for about, what is it, two months now, I've been trying to find my cell phone. It should have been either in my car or in my bag. It's nowhere to be found. Well, at least we know nobody's been making calls on it. Praise God. And remember, I've talked to you guys about the fact that God answers little prayers. God will answer the prayer for a parking space. to help you find something that you lost? Well, I have been praying for 2 months, Lord, show me where this cell phone is. And I have not found it. Now, here's the deal. There's a level of faith that says, I know that God loves me. I know that God is concerned about the things that concern me. And therefore, I can ask him to find my cell phone. I can ask him to find my cell phone. But catch this. There is nowhere in the Word of God, if you go to the concordance, you will not find cell phones listed in there anyplace. You see, I believe on the basis of God's goodness that this is something that he might well do. But I have no absolute assurance that God is going to show me where that cell phone is. Why? Because he's never promised to find my cell phone. Now, we'll talk a little later about the fact that that does not stop me from praying. Amen? But right now, the thing I want you to see is this. Because I don't have that absolute assurance that God is going to find my cell phone for me, I can't walk in that area, in this area of mountain-moving faith that Jesus is talking about. Because what did he say? You must believe and do what? Not doubt. And I have to tell you, especially after 2 months, I got a little bit of doubt as to whether or not I'm ever going to find that cell phone. Okay? So that means in this particular area, I am not walking in mountain-moving faith. And so the first thing that we need to understand about the kind of faith that we want to deal with is that it's not this, if it be thy will, type of faith. Lord, please show me where my cell phone is, if it be your will. Jesus said you have to be able to believe without doubting. So what does that mean? It's not enough to believe that God is good. It's not enough to believe that God loves you. It's not even enough to believe that God is on your side. Go back to Mark 11. Look at verse 23. Look again at how Jesus put it. What he tells us is the kind of faith that can move mountains. Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, now catch this, watch, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have what? Whatever he says. It didn't say that he will get something good. It didn't say that God will bless him. What it says is to have this kind of faith, you've got to be able to believe that what it is I have asked God for, specifically and definitely, that is the thing that God is going to give me. And I've got to be able to believe that without any doubt in my heart. Now, that's pretty tough, isn't it? That's pretty tough. That means that if I am going to have that kind of faith, I've got to know what God's will is. Got to know. If I could find any place in Scripture where it talks about finding cell phones, I'd have my cell phone. Amen? Because what? If God said it in his word, I know it's the truth. See, that's the one thing that I can count on. That's the one thing that will never vary. God's word is his will. Whatever God says in his word about what he will do, what he's promised to do, what he desires for us to have, all of that I know is his will for me. I know that's his purpose for me. I don't have to ask any questions about that. I don't have to wonder, oh, will God do this or will he not do it? He's already said it. And what does the scripture tell us? Is God a man that he should lie? Oh, no. If he promised it, I know I've got it. And so I can stand on that promise of the word 100% without doubt in my heart. So where does that take us? If I'm going to be able to understand God's purpose, understand God's will, I've got to go to his word. Amen? Go over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you see it? If I want to know what God's will, God's purpose is in this circumstance of my life, you know what needs to happen to me? My mind needs to be renewed by His Word. Amen. My mind's got to be renewed by the Word of God. That's the only way I'll know His will. That's the only way I'll know His purpose. That's the only way that I'll be able to stand flat-footed and say, God has said this, I know that it's true, and I shall not be moved. That's the first step of mountain moving faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You know these verses. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know what that tells us? If we want to have mountain-moving faith to deal with some situation in our lives, we're going to have to go to the Word of God, find out what God's Word says about it, and take our stand on that Word. How do we do that? Go over to Psalms chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, what does he do? In the Word of God, he meditates, what? Day and night. Now, what does it mean to meditate? Anybody remember? We've talked about this. I talked about those cows behind our house. When a cow gets a mouthful of grass, what does she do with it? Chews on it. Chews on it, right? And then after a while, she'll swallow it. And don't gag. A little later, what does she do? Bring it back up. She wanted some more. I don't know how many times they do it, you know. Down, up, down, up. But that's what this word meditate signifies. When it says that we are to meditate on the Word, it's saying we eat of the Word. We partake of the Word. Bring it in. And we chew on it a little bit. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, by your Spirit, show me your Word. Show me what it is that you're speaking to me through this Word. Give me revelation, Lord. Give me understanding of what you're saying in the Word here today. And we chew on it a little bit. Okay, got to go to work, so poof, there and down it goes. And we get to work and we have a break. Bring it back up. Oh, Lord, that was such a great word you gave me in this morning as I was reading the Bible, Lord. And Father, how does this apply to my life today? You know, it says that I'm supposed to love my neighbor. And Lord, you know, I don't love my boss. Hallelujah. How does this apply, Lord? Tell me, how does this apply? And of course, what the Lord says is, love your boss. And then you put it back down a little bit. You come to lunchtime. And you go out to lunch, and you sit down at the lunch table, and there's that guy from that other department over there that you know has been trying to stab you in the back, trying to take credit for what you do, and you hate his guts. And you're thinking about this thing, love your enemies. Oh, wow. Bring it back up. Let me chew on it a little bit more. I guess that means I need to go over and give a pleasant word to this fellow over here. Let him know that I don't hate him. Oh, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. What's going on? You're meditating on the Word. You're chewing on the Word. You're taking it down and bringing it back up day and night, day and night, day and night. Understand this. If you've got a mountain in your life, you've got to begin to deal with doubt. And how are you going to deal with doubt? The Word is what counteracts doubt. The Word of God is what counteracts doubt. Because what does the Scripture say? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes what? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're going to counteract doubt in your life, counteract doubt about this mountain that you've got to deal with, it's going to come as you take that Word and meditate on it. Chew on it. Say, Lord, let me get every ounce of goodness out of this thing. Let me get complete understanding. Let it be so deep into me, Lord, that I don't have any question about what you have promised. got to meditate on the word. Perhaps you've got a mountain of illness in your life today. James 5:14 may be the place that you want to go. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. You need to take those passages of scripture that deal with the promises of healing that God has made and start meditating on them, chewing on them over and over, day and night. Get them deep down into you. Why? Because you've got to deal with doubt. You can't afford to leave any space for doubt in your heart and in your mind. You've got to replace doubt with the word. And so every day, while you've got that mountain in your life that you're having to deal with, you need to be replacing doubt with the promises of the Word of God. You need to be meditating. You need to be chewing on that Word every day. Perhaps you've got a financial situation in your life. You know Philippians 4:19, amen? My God shall supply how much? All of your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you need to be taking that scripture and all the others that deal with God's provision and meditating on them, chewing over them, getting them deep down into you. You've got a marriage situation that's deep and difficult to deal with, and sometimes you feel like just throwing up your hands and giving up. And what does the word say? You know Malachi 2:16? It says, for the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. That means that God has provision for your marriage. Because what does it say in 1 Corinthians 10:13? There is no temptation, no trial that's taken you except what? What is common to man. And God is so gracious that with that temptation, he has made what? A way of escape, a way through it, that you may be able to bear it. See, you need to go to the Word of God, find the scriptures that apply to your situation, and begin to meditate. I was watching one of these infomercials on TV, and Priscilla was sitting there, and I said, Priscilla, this is gross. Because what they did was they took this piece of meat, and they had this little thing that's like a squirt gun. And what they would do is they would stick it under the skin, and then they would squirt this marinade stuff into it. And then they'd go to another part of the skin and squirt some more in there. And I said, man, I wouldn't want to eat it, you know. But what were they doing? They were saying, we're going to get this stuff inside of this, and then we're going to cook it, and it's going to pervade through the whole thing. It's going to saturate that whole piece of meat with that wonderful flavor that we put in our little squirt gun. See, that's what needs to happen with the Word of God in our lives. It needs to saturate us. It needs to saturate us because remember, where there is doubt, there can't be faith. And what can push doubt away is the faith that comes from the Word of God. Let's look at the second word. The second word is power. Go over to Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Speaking of Abraham, and the kind of faith that he had after God told him that he was going to give him a son, even though Abraham was an old man. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Do you see what got Abraham into the mountain moving faith category? He looked at what God said, saw that it is impossible. I am 99 years old. How am I going to have a son? What's worse, Sarah is 89. Now, I might be able to do it at 99, but she for sure can't do it at 89. And yet, because of what God had said, what does it say? It says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You've got to know that God can do it. You've got to know God can handle it. I'll tell you a mountain that a lot of people in the church have. It doesn't apply probably, I guess, to too many of us here today. But you know what I hear a lot of? The mountain that's in a lot of people's lives, it's a single woman looking for a good, godly man. Talk about impossible. Amen. And that's what they tell me. Man, there are no good men in the church. Where am I going to find one? But guess what? God can deal with the impossible. Amen. He can move that mountain. He can bring the one. You only need one. The one that's for you. Here's what you need to do. Go over to Psalm 46. Look at verses 1 through 3. Look at how David handled it when he had some mountains in his life. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Look down in verse 6. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What was he doing? He was reminding himself of the power of God. Going over it in his mind, speaking it out of his mouth. This is who my God is. Look at what he's done. He is a very present help in time of trouble. I mean, he has but to speak and the whole world trembles. That's my God. He was reminding himself of God's power. See, you've got to know that God can do it. You've got to bring it to your mind. You've got to remind yourself, keep it within you, that God can do whatever it takes to get you through. The third word is permission. Understand this. God can do anything. Amen. Amen? God can do anything. But there are certain things he will not do until you give him permission. How many of you got saved the first time somebody presented the gospel to you? First time you heard it? No. Some of us were hard heads, amen? Took us a while. Catch this. Could God have saved you the first time you heard the word? Could he? Could he have just spoken the word and you say, wow, I think I'll get saved today. But what? He didn't do that. Because, see, God has limited himself in that way. That's not something he's going to do. He's not going to override your will in order to bring you, drag you kicking and screaming into the kingdom. No. He says, that's a matter for you to decide. I'm going to call you by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you every opportunity, but still, you've got to make a choice. God will not work in that area of your life until you give him permission. Remember Jonah? God called Jonah and said, Jonah, I've got a task for you. I want you to go down to Nineveh and I want you to preach to these people and I'm going to deliver them from destruction. Jonah said, I don't want to do that. That's not on my agenda. I don't want them delivered from destruction. I'm not going to do it. So what did God do? Did God just say, well, I'll make you do it? No, what did he do? He just made life a little difficult for him. That's all. In a storm on the sea, thrown overboard, eaten up by a big fish, in the fish for 3 days, then spit out. And by that time, Jonah said, I think I'll reconsider, Lord. But catch this. God did not make him go to Nineveh until Jonah himself made that decision. You see, God would not override. God would not work in his life in that area until Jonah gave him permission. And God will not work in your life until you give him permission. Go over to Acts chapter 14, starting with verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped up and walked. Now catch this in verse 9. What was it that gave God permission to work in this man's life? Paul looked at him intently and saw that he had what? Faith to be healed. You see, it was by his faith that he gave permission to God to work in his life. And so in any area where we've got a mountain in our lives, there's some things that we're going to need to do. There's some commitments we're going to need to make in order to give God permission to operate in our lives. Let me give you an example. You've got a financial problem. You're calling on God to deliver you out of that financial situation. Are you tithing? Are you tithing? Because if you're not doing what God told you to do in order to be blessed financially, how is God going to have permission to work in that area of your life? You see, you're withholding your permission even while you're saying, "Oh Lord, come in and help me." But you still got the door locked. And you're not allowing him through the door because you haven't obeyed what he told you to do. Or you've got this horrible situation in your family. Can't get along with your husband or your wife, just fighting like cats and dogs all the time. And you're calling on the Lord, "Oh Lord, please help me, help me, help me." And the Lord says, "Forgive." "But Lord, you don't know how he's hurt me." "Oh no, I can't forgive that." Forgive. And if you haven't forgiven, if you're unwilling to forgive, you can call on the Lord all day, but what? You haven't given him permission. He can't get through the door. You see, you aren't doing what you needed to do. You haven't made the commitment that you need to make. Husband, he says, you need to love your wife. "Oh, but Lord, she's not very lovable." Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about love lovable wives. What it does say is you can make them lovable by loving them. Amen? Amen. Wife, submit to your husband. "Oh, Lord, to him?" What do you do? Lock the door. "Sorry, Lord, you can't come in. No permission." And God is hindered from working in that area of your life. Understand this. If you're going to see God move mountains in your life, you're going to have to do what the Word tells you to do to give him permission to operate in that area of your life. See, as you're searching the Scripture and as you're meditating in the Word, you're not only finding out what God's promises are, you're finding out the things that he wants you to do in order to open the door and give him permission to come in. And that's why the Word is so important. If you don't remember anything else, just remember this. Purpose, power, permission. And all three of those come from the Word of God. Amen? If you've got a mountain in your life that needs to be dealt with today, God can move mountains. But the place to start is you've got to find out what God said about your situation. Is it his purpose for you? You've got to be sure that God has the power to overcome that circumstance. And you've got to give him permission. And all of that will come as you meditate in his Word.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.